1 John chapter number 2 in your Bibles, and stand together with me. 1 John and chapter number 2 this morning. 1 John chapter number 2. Verse number 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Amen. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we know Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Amen. Past tense. Let's go to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Our Father, I'm so thankful this morning for the song service and how it blessed my heart. Thank you, Lord, for the people of God that have assembled in this place and for their desire to be here and their desire to grow in grace and knowledge of the Word of God and have come to a greater understanding of You. I thank You, Lord, for the liberty we have this morning, Your blessed presence. It be my prayer that You'd meet every need in the house of God. I realize, Lord, that only God looks upon the hearts and tries the reins. Man can only imagine what the problems may be and the needs are, but I'm glad, thank God, that You know. And I pray You'll meet those needs this morning. There's some here that's lost. I pray they'll be saved. I pray, Lord, for the church that You'd send a revival spirit to us, that You'd bless us this morning with Your presence. I pray for liberty and power. I pray for that anointing that only the Spirit of God can give. May the Holy Ghost work in our hearts today to draw us closer unto Thee. Forgive us of our sins, our imperfections, our faults and failures, and give us the grace that we need today to serve You, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to preach this morning from verse number 3, if the Lord being my helper. And here John says, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Amen. And I want to preach for a little while this morning on a simple thought of how well do you know Jesus? You know about Him, or do you know Him? And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Amen. Now, I could spend a great deal of time, if I wanted this morning, in the introduction explaining a few things that is in this verse. For instance, the two no's. What do they represent? Or who the him and the he is referring to in the text, or even on the commandments, whether they are referring to the Ten Commandments that God gave in the Decalogue, whether He's referring to the commandments of God in their entirety, or whether He's referring to the commandments of the Lord Jesus. There are gospel commandments that we have of Christ. And I could spend a great deal of time trying to interpret and cipher these out and trying to explain them to you, which they're self-explanatory if you'll read the text. But suffice to say that the text simply means that those who know Christ will live in humble obedience to the Word and to the will of God.
Amen.
And that obedience may have... Now listen carefully. That obedience may have defects, it may have failures, but yet in Christ they are accepted of God.
Amen.
Now that sounds like compromise. If I say that our obedience has defects and our obedience has failures, and yet they are accepted by God in Christ, that sounds like compromise. But I'm going to prove to you by the Bible that it's not compromise, that it's truth and it's fact.
Amen.
For David, the Bible said, was a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
But you and I know that David was not perfect in his life.
Amen.
He committed adultery for one thing. That's just one thing.
Amen.
I think David failed in some ways in regards to his family. And so he led an imperfect life. Yet God said that he was a man after God's own heart. But he went further than that. And in 1 Kings 11:34, God says about David that he kept my commandments and my statutes.
Amen.
And yet you and I know that his obedience was not a perfect obedience to God. Yet that obedience was accepted by God in Christ. I want to say to you that everything that we do and what we live is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank God that we're not perfect and we're not going to be perfect until God glorifies this body.
Amen.
But I'm glad this morning that we are in Him and we have been accepted in the Beloved because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of our merits of righteousness, anything that we have done, but we are accepted in God because of Him and what He has already done. It's not necessarily what He's going to do, but it's what He's done and what He's doing right now. Thank God what He's done, He died on the cross and gave His life for our sins and rose again. But it didn't stop there. He ascended at the right hand of God. And the Bible said that He is there as a propitiation for our sins. My little children, these things write unto thee, that ye sin not, but if any man sin, hey, ho, ho, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. What about that? Thank be unto God. And then he says, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Now I could go a step further. And if you read through the four Gospels, the apostles, the 12, made numerous, I won't say mistakes, but they failed in a number of ways.
Amen.
I've been preaching to you on Brother Peter, and Lord have mercy. Peter failed in a number of ways. Even came down to the point where he denied the Lord three times. And certainly they failed the Lord in their perfect obedience. Hey, but I won't say this. By the disobedience of one, many were made sinners. But by the obedience of one, that is the Lord Jesus, many shall be made righteous. I'm not giving you a right to sin, but I am telling you, or to be disobedient, but I'm telling you that you're not going to heaven on your obedience. You're going to heaven on the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh yes, God expects us to do all that we can to be obedient to that Bible and walk in the footsteps of our Lord. But I'm telling you along the way, there's going to be faults and there's going to be failures. But thank God we're not going to heaven on what we have done. We're going to heaven on what Christ has already accomplished for us. We have got an accomplished redemption. Thank God when he bowed his head and said, "It is finished," I'm telling you, it was finished.
Amen.
Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
Now here's what Jesus himself said about the disciples in John 17:6. He said, "They have kept thy word."
Amen.
They have kept thy word. That's what he said about them in John 17:6. Hallelujah to God. Makes me feel good. Amen. I'm glad that I've got a perfect sacrifice.
Amen.
And a perfect substitute.
Amen.
And a perfect Savior.
Amen.
And a perfect High Priest.
Amen.
And a perfect God who died for my sins.
Amen.
that someday, hallelujah, I'll be conformed to His image and will be just as perfect as what He is perfect. Somebody say hallelujah to God when we shed this robe of flesh and rise to meet that everlasting prize. Thank be unto God. We'll see Him as He is and we'll be like Him because we will see Him as He is. Amen. Thank God. Now, listen carefully. I believe there are saved people who do not know if or do not have or do not know of a surety that they are saved. Listen carefully. But no man should leave this thing unsettled. For you're either saved or you're condemned. There is no in between, ladies and gentlemen. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But if you're not saved, you are condemned already because you have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. That's right. Thank God. You're either no or to leave that thing unsettled. I'd nail her down, friend. I mean, nail her down tight. I know that I know that I know that I've been to Calvary. And if I didn't know, I'd get on an altar this morning and stay on that altar until I knew for a fact that I'd been born again into the family of God and been sealed by the Holy Ghost, sanctified by the Spirit of God, and amen, on my way to glory. Amen. Now, you're either forgiven or you are yet in your sins. Period. No in between. Christ has either forgiven you or the condemnation of your sin and the guilt of your sin still lay upon you, one of the two. I wouldn't want to meet God that way either. Now, listen carefully. You either have heaven secured or else you're going to hell.
Amen.
It's that simple.
Amen.
If heaven is not secured in your soul,
Amen.
You die, you will go to hell. That's
Amen.
A. Amen. You know why? Because you do not know Him and you have not kept His commandments.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm telling you, I don't care what the papa says and wears a dress and calls himself a father. Got his shirt collar on backwards, amen, and takes handout money from people and deceives them in believing that he's a vicar of Christ upon the earth and has the power to forgive their sins. He can't. He forgives his own sins, much less theirs. Thank God, I'm glad I got a great high priest in heaven that has forgiven me of all my sins. I don't have to sit down in a telephone booth and tell some stupid idiot, praise God, what I've done. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah to God. Now, listen carefully. Those who are living on perhapses and maybes are living a life in dust and ashes. It's a light thing. Maybe I'm going. Perhaps I'm going. I hope I'm going. Buddy, I'm telling you, it's pretty light. You better know that you're going. Somebody said, can we know? And hereby we do know that we know Him. Yeah, you can know Him. Not know about Him, know Him. Hallelujah. I know about George Bush, but I don't know him. I know my wife. I've spent time with my wife. You don't know somebody unless you spend time with somebody. You got to spend time with him to know him. My question is, how well do you know him this morning? How far has your knowledge gone? Are you extending that knowledge on a regular basis? Do you want the choir sing, I want to know more about Jesus? Do you really want to know more about Him? It'll be accomplished in that book. and prayer and faith in believing and Him revealing Himself to you to learn more about Him. Amen to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know Him as friend? Know Him as your companion? You know Him as comforter? There's a lot of things I could preach on today. How well do you know Him? I've just got three little points. How well do you know Him? Let me ask you this morning. Do you know Him as lover of your soul? Somebody said, oh, that's a light thing. Is it really a light thing? Do you really know Him as the lover of your soul? It was that love for your soul that brought Him to the cross. It was that love for your soul that cost Him agony and pain. It was that love for your soul that cost Him suffering. It was that love for your soul that is going to bring Him back again. Hallelujah to God. It was that love for your soul that brought about the Comforter. Amen. As a companion to be with us. Not just for a while, but praise God to comfort us forever, the Bible says. You're about to get back in for Him. Brother Matthias called me the other day. Said, was Jerome sick last Sunday? I said, why? Said he sounded weak. Pretty hard to shout in here last week, wasn't it? Brother James said, I heard you say them guys must not have preached nothing while I was gone. Do you know Him as lover of your soul? Listen to what Psalmist said in Psalm 142:4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me.
Amen.
No man. No man cared for my soul. Oh, no man cared for my soul. Listen carefully now. Listen carefully. The devil doesn't care for your soul. The rock star doesn't care for your soul. The movie star doesn't care for your soul. The athlete doesn't care for your soul. But I tell you, Jesus is the lover of your soul. Hallelujah to God. Thank God. No man ever cared for me like Jesus. Amen. Oh, yes. I'm telling you, He loves you. He's a lover of your soul. And He died that your soul may escape the torment and damnation of hell. And we sit here this morning being a redeemed people that are called upon to praise our God. And we act like God's dead and we're lost and we're all going to hell. Praise God, I made up my mind I'm going to praise Him.
Amen.
Thank Him. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
He is the lover of my soul. That's right.
Amen.
Somebody said, when did He love me? Well, Jesus loved you when you were dead in sin.
Amen.
Ephesians 2:1, and you.
Amen.
The last time I read any English, you is second person pronoun. And you hath He quickened, who were not are, were dead in trespasses and sins. Praise God. How could He do that? Because He tasted death for every man. That's right, He tasted your death. So you'll never have to taste it. I don't know what kind of flavor it had, but He drank the last bitter drag of your sin. And then tasted your death on top of it.
Amen.
Amen. Suffered the death pangs of hell for our rotten, raunchy, nasty souls. Amen. Polluted in our own blood, lost in a dung hill. But I'm glad, thank God, He swept through the dust and the dirt until He found me. Thank God, He turned on the light in the dark places until He found me. Put the searchlight on my soul until He found me. And thank God for that Sunday morning when He came by, hallelujah, and found that little lost sheep that went astray.
Amen.
Amen. He's a lover of our soul. Do you know Him as lover of your soul? He loved you when you were dead in sins. May I say that He loved you, or He loves you when you're discouraged and alone. Anybody in here this morning ever feel alone? Feel like there's nobody around but you? I thought about little Hagar. And she sat down under that bush, about a bow shot away from that little boy. The Bible said she lifted up her eyes and wept. Sitting there all alone, without anyone to care for her. Have you ever felt that way, alone in the fact that nobody cares? I want to say to you this morning, thank God the lover of your soul cares about you when you're discouraged and when you're lonely and all alone and feel like nobody else in the world cares whether you live or die. Thank God there's a lover of your soul that'll come into the lonely shadows of death where you are and put His arms around you and love you and help you and bless you. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know Him this morning as lover of your soul. Loved you when you were in darkness. He loved you when you're discouraged and all alone. You ever sat down under that bush? Old Elijah sat down under that juniper tree. God gave him water and bread, got him out from under that juniper tree, and he headed to a cave and hid again. God help us. Amen. But God came to him under the juniper tree. Woo! And God came to him when he was in the cave. Hallelujah to God. Thank God He visits us in the lonely hours of the night. When there's tears flowing down our cheeks because of a broken heart and a lonely spirit and hey, a discouragement in our life. Thank God Jesus will come. There may be discouragement through the night, but thank God joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know Him as lover of your soul. Jesus loved you when you were dead in sin. Jesus loves you when you're discouraged and all alone. But may I say that Jesus loves you when you're displeased and vexed. When you're displeased and vexed. You know, He sent a man by the name of Jonah to preach to a city called Nineveh. And Jonah was so hard-hearted and stiff-necked that he didn't want to go. They want to preach to that bunch of Gentiles.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, God taught him a lesson when he got swallowed up with that whale.
Amen.
Took him down into the seaweeds. He took a voyage to the bottom of the sea.
Amen.
Charles Spurgeon said it was there in the belly of that whale that Jonah became a good Calvinist. It was there he realized that salvation is of the Lord. Now, I'm not a Calvinist. I'm just telling you what he said. But I'm going to tell you, he learned salvation as the Lord down there. Sometimes God may have to take some of you to the bottom of the sea. Because I can tell by looking at some of your face, some of you are displeased with your life and what's going on in your life. You're sad and vexed and displeased. You know what God did? Hey, God sent him in there to preach. Then he went out and sat down under the sun. God gave him a gourd over top of his head. Give him a little shadow. And here's what he said to Jonah. Doeth thee well to be angry? They was angry and displeased about what God was doing in his life. And yet the lover, woo, of his soul loved him when he was displeased about everything. Are you displeased about your life today? Things not going according to Hoyle, whoever that is, or whatever that is. Are you displeased and vexed? Feel like everything's went wrong? Just look in the book.
Amen.
All you got to do is read John 3:16. My goodness.
Amen.
That's all you have to do is read John 3:16.
Amen.
Praise God, I ain't got beyond that yet. That God loved the world.
Amen.
And sent His Son into the world to die, that whosoever believeth upon Him may have everlasting life.
Amen.
Woo, never die. I'm going to die, no, never. Yeah. I'm going to live forever. Yeah. What that little old song back there says. Jesus died on a tree for me, and I'm going to live forever, forever. Now that ought to help you to know that Jesus loved your soul. You know, when God asked David, said David, David said, I am so vexed. What he was saying is, my soul is vexed because of the happenings that's going on. I've tried for years to get some of you in here to understand that the happenings that are going on are the handiwork of God. And if we'll get involved in the handiwork of God, God will see us through it. I talked to Brother Rickard, Brother Troy, over at the funeral home the other night. And I said, how's your personal work going? He said, better than I ever dreamed. He said, I've been wanting to get out of that factory a long time. He said, I finally pulled the trigger. He said, Brother Hall, said, I've been getting more work, and God's been helping me. I'm going to tell you, you can get stuck in the mud in doing something. Are you listening? You can get stuck in the mud and get in the ditch and get in the rut. Tired of what you're doing, tired of where you're at, tired of what's going on. And if you ain't careful, you get in that place, you'll make some real bad mistakes in your life. Oh, you'll make some decisions in your life that are not good. Not good, Mr. Hall, that are not good. You better be careful when you're displeased and vexed and making decisions. Lot vexed his righteous soul.
Amen.
But God, the lover of his soul, I'm amazed at the grace of God.
Amen.
If any man ought to die and went to hell, it was Lot.
Right.
But God delivered him. Why?
Amen.
Because he had already brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees and out of sin. He wasn't obedient in a perfect way.
Amen.
God still loved his soul.
Amen.
I want to ask you secondly. Do you know him as lover of your soul? I'm asking you, do you know him as Lord of your life?
Amen.
You used to preach on lordship a lot years ago. Hitting repentance was two big issues. They've kind of settled down now. You don't hear any preaching at all on lordship or repentance.
Amen.
But they're both still in the Bible. They're both still there. You know, is he Lord of your life? Knowing him and keeping his commandments signifies and includes that we make his will the rule of our lives, that his word works effectually in our souls, inclining our hearts and governing our wills.
Amen.
Somebody said, you mean he rules my life? Oh, yes!
Amen.
If you know him, he rules your life.
Amen.
In your will and in your works.
Amen.
Some Baptists don't believe when God purchased them, he purchased their will along with it.
Amen.
But he bought you lock, stock, and barrel. And if you're not governed by the will of God in your life and not governed by the Word of God in your life and not governed by the works of God in your life, you don't know Him. Some things are just God's will. It's easy to be understood. I mean, you go to church, you tithe, you're faithful, you fellowship with God's people, you sing, you worship, you read your Bible, you pay your bills, take care of your family. Now, there's some things you've got to pray about, seriously, about God's will. God's a man, hey. God was a man in a church where the Word of God was being preached. I'd be mighty careful leaving that for any reason.
Amen.
Whether it be for a job or anything else, I'd be real careful.
Amen.
You're not careful? Oh, you're not careful? You drag your family down into Moab!
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, Naomi buried the majority of her family in Moab. Oh, I wouldn't go to Moab. You might wind up in Sodom and Gomorrah. You might lose your whole family. I'm going to ask you something, Lord. Is your whole family worth messing up your life for? Praise God. Let's get in the house of God at Island Fork. It's God's will for you to be here or you would not be here. And let's learn to worship Him, praise Him, serve Him, work for Him, labor for Him, and be His. Let Him govern us, even in our wills. What did Jesus say? I've come to do Thy will, O God. In the volume of Thy book, it is written of me. Hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. You know Him as Lord of your life. He's Lord over your soul. I've done mentioned that. But Psalm 32:22 said, the Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. Woo! None of them. Come on now, don't die. None of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. Hallelujah to God. That means without. I've heard people say, boy, they live in a desolate place. Desolate, never leave you desolate, means He'll never leave you in your personal life out here somewhere in no man's land.
Amen.
You ever been out there? It's a bad place to be.
Amen.
But it said He will not leave you desolate.
Amen.
You in desolate places? Groaned about it, nah. But thank God He didn't leave me there.
Amen.
Amen. I went to Groan Valley, Green Valley, and I'm telling you, I'm glad God didn't leave me there. It was desolate. But He loves your soul, and He won't leave you there. He'll bring you out. He's Lord of your soul. He guards the soul. This flesh will become diseased and withered away until the day of redemption. But listen carefully. But the soul shall never be tainted with sin, not one time. Thank God. There's no sin. Hey, hallelujah. There's a perfect man living in us this morning. Our soul has been made white by the blood of the Lamb. And it's been regenerated, redeemed, and stands in a perfect state this morning. Thank God. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus stands as guard. Like a sentinel over your soul. You know what the devil said about Job? Told the Lord, reach out and touch him now. And said, he'll curse you to your face. And the devil and the Lord said, he's all yours, but don't you touch his life.
Amen.
Where is the life? The life of the flesh is in the blood.
Amen.
Don't touch his life.
Right. Amen. Amen.
I want you to hear what I'm saying. Things don't look good. Wars everywhere. Stock market in trouble. Housing market in trouble. They're pumping millions of dollars into the stock market to keep it from falling. Things don't look good. We might be getting ready to enter a different lifestyle. But I'm telling you, we got to camp out under a tent. Guess what? God's still God. And guess what else? God still loves your soul.
Amen.
Praise God. He said there was food and raiment to be content.
Amen.
That don't even promise a pup then. Just food and raiment.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Thank God. Somebody said, I got a hammer and a high life. You better get used to the low life, friend. It's on the way.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Listen carefully now. He's also Lord, not only of your soul, but He's Lord of the sanctuary.
Amen.
You may not believe it, but He's Lord of this place we're in this morning.
Amen.
In John 2, 15, 16, you know what He done? He went in the sanctuary and saw some things that didn't please Him.
Amen.
The Bible said, and when He had made a scourge of small cords, He drove them out of the temple. And the sheep and the oxen. And He poured out the changers' money, overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise.
Amen.
He's Lord over the sanctuary. Now I'm going to tell all of you this, and you can get, I hope none of you get mad, but I'm telling you there's some things going on in the sanctuary that I'm afraid is displeasing to the Lord. Every time I get ready to read the text on every service, a half a dozen of you or more will hit that back door.
Amen.
Go to that bathroom between services.
Right.
Some of you, we can sit down and won't be down 3 minutes, but some of these little ones will have to hit the bathroom.
Yeah.
All they want is up. Amen. You better learn to train them to stay down. I'm just telling you, there's some things that God's not pleased with in the sanctuary. I'm not against these little kids having a good time in the sanctuary, but sometimes they go a tad bit too far.
Amen.
They go just a little bit too far with things.
Amen.
I don't know if God's pleased with that or not.
Right.
Now, I've carried on about coming to God's holy sanctuary reverently, but there is a reverent way to come in this sanctuary. And there's a reverent way to worship God. And there's a reverent way to praise God. And there's a reverent way to please God.
Amen.
And this is His.
Amen.
This house is His house. Somebody said, oh, we're making the payments on it. It's ours. Son, you've got a different, you better take a better outlook and read your Bible. This is God's house.
Amen.
You know why it is? It's where His children meet. I'm going to be honest with you. If I went to my daddy's house when I was a young fella, young boy, and I acted the way I've seen some folks act in here, my daddy would have knocked my teeth so far down my throat, I'd have had to drop my britches to brush my teeth the next day. That's right.
Amen.
I got a smile out of you. Amen. He's also Lord of your silver.
Yeah,
Malachi said, bring you all the tithes. All of them, not part of them. Bring you all the tithes.
Amen.
Into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my Father's house. Wonder what would happen if we took up special offering. Wonder what would happen if I tried to raise enough money in here to pay off that note up there at the bank. I'm telling you what would happen. Some of y'all would curl your pocketbook up inside, sit down on it, and just hunker down as low as you could get so I couldn't see you. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, we don't have that kind of money. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you something. You can light this and tell you what it's worth. We'll borrow money to buy anything we want. We never think about borrowing money to give to God and trusting God to give it back.
Amen.
We'll borrow money for anything we want.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm telling you that He's Lord of our money.
Amen.
What He, and if you had learned to give, He would give. But He's not about to give to a tightwad that He knows is not going to channel that money back into the house of God. Hey, what God gives us, praise God, let's channel it back into the house of God, and He'll give us more to channel into the house of God, plus enough to live on.
Amen.
R.J. or R.G. Letourneau, whoever he was, when he died, was giving 90% of his income to the church and living on the other 10%. And if you don't know who he was, he's the man that manufactured these first big Euclids and earth movers. And he started out giving the missions meekly. And before he died, he was giving 90% of his income to the church and was living on the other 10%. There's a church up in Indiana that I learned the other day that Colonel Sanders built years ago. They got 20 people in their church, and he's been putting, they got a trust fund set up. They've been getting money from him ever since he went into the chicken business, and they got $2 million in their account, and there's 20 people in the church. And the preacher's trying to run everybody off so he can get it. Or knock him in the head and throw him down off over a hill somewhere. Take that $2 million and give up to WSOM! Woo! Amen. Now, thirdly, and I'm closing, is he Lord of your spirit? Lord of your spirit. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? Psalm 23 said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Is he not Lord, but leader? Is he leader? Does he lead you? Is he leader of your spirit? According to 23:2 there, he leads in peace. Thank God. Thank God for that peace of God, peace with God when we got saved. But that peace of God that passes all understanding. Does he lead you beside still waters? Or is your life full of trouble? Is your life full of confusion? Is your life full of turmoil? Is it always chaotic? Then let him lead your spirit beside still waters. Make you to lie down in green pastures. He'll let you lay there, praise God, and eat grass laying down and gain weight all at the same time. And enjoy things. By the way, I think I've been eating grass for the last 3 weeks. I've lost 8 pounds. I'm telling you, I've about had all the lettuce and tomatoes I can handle, fried onion and potatoes. Not really. I'm not complaining. I'm just trying to make a little joke out of it. But I have lost 8 pounds. She's got me losing weight whether I want to or not. I was getting proud of my belly. Now I'm going to lose it. I was trying to catch up some of you other fellas in here. Now I'm going to lose it. Just went to the yard sale and bought 5 new suits, and now I guess I'm going to have to probably get rid of them, buy something littler to have them. I had some let out, and I'm going to have some took in. I tell you, this thing is like a yo-yo with me and this weight up and down. Lord, help us. Does he lead you in his pathway? Psalm 27:11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Not complicated, he said, because of my enemies. Don't lead me in a complicated path. Plain path. That simply means just give me some perfect understanding about where you want me to walk and how you want me to walk in that plain path. Don't give me too many curves and twists and turns, Lord. Make it straight. Make it plain.
Yes, sir.
Because of mine enemies, every time you've got to make a curve, that enemy may be lurking somewhere in that curve. It's kind of hard for him to get you on that straight path. You got your eyes up ahead. Kind of hard for him to get you, but when you make that turn, if you're not careful, he'll be standing there waiting on you. Lead me in a plain path. Does he lead you in his power? Psalm 31:3. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Lead me and guide me. Sometimes when we get ahead of the Lord, He's got to guide us for a little while. That can be dangerous. You get out in front, He'll lead you as long as you'll let Him. But when you get draggy, like some of us has, you might as well nod your heads up and down and say, amen, I pastor you. We've got lazy. And we've got to dragging our feet. We've got behind on God. But I'm glad He's still such a lover of our soul that He'll guide us. You may have to put bits in our mouth like in a horse's mouth. That's not nice. Most of the time the halter won't work. You've got to get them bits cutting. Remember one time I preached on mule-headed Baptist? Some of you weren't here. I preached on mule-headed Baptist. Don't be stubborn. Like the mule, the Lord said. Let God lead you.
Amen.
He'll lead you in a plain path. He'll lead you beside still waters. And He's your fortress. He'll lead you by His power. He's got the power to do that. And I'm closing. He leads us with passion. What a loving Lord. Listen to what the Bible says. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, thank God with great passion and love. He'll lead. If we cry, He'll lead us to the rock that is higher than what we are. Thank God, greater is He than what we are. You know what you can do when you get to that rock? Two or three things right off the cuff. He can either cleave a place in that rock and cover you in there with His hand, or He can bring water out of that rock and give you drink, or He can let you suck honey out of that rock.
Yep.
Suck it!
Right.
Somebody said, that don't sound... That's in the Bible. That means you got to do a little something. There's honey there. You need sweetened up this morning?
Amen.
Let Him lead you to that rock higher than what you are. Yes. Suck a little honey out of that rock.
Amen.
What a God we have. How well do you know Him?
Amen.
You know Him as lover of your soul?
Amen.
You know Him as Lord of your life? You know Him as leader of your spirit?
Amen.
Hereby do we know that we know Him.
Amen.
Yeah. We keep His commandments. Let's stand together.